tear over my shirt and I show a rosy on my chest, cause I'm a wanderer. Yeah, a wanderer. I roam around, 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 around.
Hey, a little bit of Dion this morning for you. That'll get you going. Get the blood circulating. Good morning. Welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. I am Paul Molloy. So I adjust my mic a little bit. And along with my buddy, my partner, my aficionado, whatever that means, Big Ed Davis, we thank you for joining us on this, I already told you, Monday morning, February the 10th, I believe. We're going to be talking in a few minutes with Tom Gipping of the Heritage Foundation, and we're going to talk about how history will treat the Trump impeachment. What are they going to think about Donald Trump, say, about 20 years from now? Like, what do they think about Bill Clinton now? After what? 20 years since he was impeached. And tomorrow in New Hampshire, in the cold and snow, it's the primary there. And on the eve of New Hampshire, does Joe Biden have a chance of a New Hampshire snowball's chance in hell of doing well there? Even he doesn't seem to think so. We're going to talk about all of that. And also, what do you think small businesses think about the presidential election? Gallup has done a very interesting survey. We're going to tell you who they like on the Democratic side, and whether they think, from their perspective, the economy is doing well. And in our ultimate top 10, while back we gave you the top 10 shortest presidents, and I'll bet Ed doesn't even remember who the shortest president was. I think, Ed, you said it was George Washington, and then I told you who it was. I'll bet you don't remember. Well, I won't bet, but I think you might not remember, because you tend to be very forgetful. Anyway, we're going to tell you. We'll see.
You never know when that answer is going to come up again. You know?
I know.
I could be win a round of Jeopardy with that, maybe.
Well, let me put it this way. If Michael Bloomberg becomes president, he might be on the list, like, towards the top.
Well, you thought he was really short.
I did, didn't I?
What did I say he was?
I think you said he was about 5'8".
Yeah.
And I had told you I thought he was about 5'4". I think he's 5'8 with platform heels.
Yeah, maybe he's wearing those 70s platforms.
With those pumps.
Yeah.
I wonder what he would look like in those pumps, those lady pumps, you know? If he,
That might be a different life.
Now, just think about this as he sashays onto the stage for a debate and he's wearing those pumps. Now, let's be honest. Other than doing something like that, do you think there's going to be any real focus on Bloomberg? I think he's going to have to dress as a woman. If he dresses as a woman, I think he has a better chance of being elected. That's just my opinion, though.
Did you ever see the new commercial with Obama in it?
Was he dressed like a woman?
No, I was just wondering if it sort of looks like an endorsement, but is it?
Oh, yes. Yes.
Is it an endorsement?
He talks about how well, you know, it's like a, I didn't think, it, I mean, yes, you're right, exactly. Bloomberg is... Michael Bloomberg has Obama talking about how well Bloomberg ran or is running the city of New York when he was the mayor. But I didn't think it was much of a strong endorsement, did you?
Mm-mm.
It was like, oh, well, you know, he's got to say that. Guy's a Democrat, mayor of New York, you know. It was like, you know, Obama had that sort of backhanded compliment. Remember he said something to Hillary Clinton? Oh, yeah, you're good enough, Hillary. You know,
yeah.
I mean, it's like... Hey, you know, you wanted to wash your hands,
yeah.
That kind of thing, you know. And now you got me off my, I wanted to tell everybody that we're sponsored by the best barbershop in Dunedin. Andrew's Master Barbershop, located in the Overcash Plaza, which is just north of State Road 580. That's like the main east-west in Dunedin, just north of it on Overcash Drive. They're open Tuesday through Friday, by the way, so don't go there today. But, I mean, Tuesday through Saturday, so they're closed on Mondays. But you'll get the best haircut at the best price. Also, you want to hear our shows? I mean, they're so good, you got to hear it again, right? We got so much info. You got to go back and make sure you didn't miss anything. OurFreedomWorks.com. Our, freedomworks.com. And Ed, bless his big heart or little heart, puts our shows on podcast for you. And when you go to the podcast, you'll see which guest we have and what the top 10 is. Is there anything more that you need in life? I don't think so. Okay, so tomorrow, the New Hampshire primary. And this is the first primary, although Iowa was the first voting process, if you want to call it that. Apparently the whole thing fell apart. Probably the death of the caucus. That might be the death of the caucus, what happened in Iowa. It was so embarrassing for the Democrats. I almost feel bad for them, but I don't. So we got the first primary tonight. Two new polls show Bernie Sanders, the leader. Can you believe it? Can you believe a socialist? A socialist is leading in what I used to think was rather a rather independent state. Isn't that the Don't Tread on Me state? You know, with a coiled snake. Mm-hmm. They got a coiled snake in their state flag, you know. Don't tread on me. I think. I have to look that up. Anyway, New Hampshire is considered to be very independent. And they got Bernie Sanders, number one. The guy's almost a communist.
That's what the polls say?
Yeah.
The same polls that projected Hillary by a landslide?
Yeah.
Okay.
The populist senator from Vermont, making his second straight bid for the Democratic nomination, stands at 28% among likely Democrats voting there. Guess who's second? Mayor Booty is second. Our buddy, he's at 21%. You know, he's doing pretty well. He did well in Iowa.
Who did?
Mayor Booty.
Mayor Booty.
Pete Buttigieg.
Oh.
Pete Buttigieg. Yeah. Buttigieg.
I thought he was talking about Bloomberg.
No. I think he's the current mayor of South Bend, although the people in South Bend wouldn't say he is because he's never there anymore.
Right?
So Pete Buttigieg is second. He has 21% to Bernie's 28%. Where's Biden? Where's Biden? Delaware's just down the road. Biden registers at 12%. What's going on with him? Oh, by the way, I got to get this in real quick. You'll enjoy this, Ed, if you didn't know it. Biden's losing it. He dissed a female questioner. Maybe the pressure's getting to him. Yesterday, Biden snapped at a woman in New Hampshire, calling her, quote, a lying dog-faced pony soldier. How'd you like to be called that? The dust-up came after the voter asked Biden, how do you explain the performance in Iowa, and why should the voters believe that you can win a national election? He says to her, you ever been to a caucus? After the voter said yes, she had attended a caucus. Biden shoots back, no, you haven't. You're a lying, dark-faced pony soldier.
Such a scallywag.
How did he come up with that one?
Oh, I don't know.
No, you haven't. You're a lying, dog-faced pony soldier. I got a picture. Wait a second. Lying, mm-hmm. dog-faced mm-hmm. pony soldier mm-hmm. to a woman.
Okay.
What do you think?
So what he did was he learned that harsh language from the way Obama used to talk to Putin.
Yes.
You know, shake his finger and say, no, no, no.
Yes, I'm sure Putin was very concerned and very worried about Obama when he was conducting his apology tour. I'm sure he was very nervous. So there you go. Biden's losing it. All right, let's take our break. And we're going to talk about whether or not the impeachment of Donald Trump is going to have a legacy. Stay tuned.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
The best barbershop in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop, located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They've got a beautiful new facility, but you'll still get the very best haircut from the very best hair cutters, and for a great price, too. Andrew's Master Barbershop is open Tuesday through Friday, 8:30 to 5, and Saturday, 8:30 to 2 p.m. Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza, State Road 580 and Overcash Drive in Dunedin.
If you would like to become a wholesale buyer of the premium quality longevity product that you hear about right here on the Tantalk Radio Network for personal service, you can pick up the phone right now and call Lola at 727-441-3311. Again, that's Lola at 727-441-3311. Or for even faster service, log on to TantalkHealth.com. That's TantalkHealth.com. Here's to your health and longevity.
Hi, this is Jay Leno.
Hey, this is Ted Nugent.
Hi, everybody. This is David Hobbs.
Hi, this is Bob Marshall.
Hey, this is Danny the Count Coker.
Hey, this is comedian, author, and most importantly, vintage race car driver Adam Carolla.
Hi, this is Shirley Cha-Cha Muldowney.
I'm John Forrest.
Hey, this is Jack Roush.
And you're listening to Nostalgic Radio and Cars.
That's Nostalgic Radio and Cars with the most fascinating and legendary names in motorsports every Tuesday from 7 to 8 p.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back and glad to have the power on a Monday morning. We just got a call from our energy company threatening to cut our power off if we didn't pay the bill in 30 minutes. Excuse me for laughing. It's one of those stupid scam calls, you know? Hey, Tom Chipping, have you ever gotten one of those calls at home where if you don't do something right away, all hell is going to break loose?
I actually had some voicemails to that effect, too,
sure.
Like that toss in the word like crime and IRS or something.
Yes.
That sort of thing. And you're like, you know, who
or your bank,
out there? Who's got my number?
Your bank says, oh, you've got to change your code or something. And if you look at the top, it'll say to undisclosed recipients or something. So you know doggone well. What is this, right?
Well, the latest one was a voicemail from the Department of Social Security,
yes,
saying they had suspended my number.
Oh, you bad boy.
Because of criminal activity.
Social Security isn't a department, and they
don't suspend
numbers. But anyway.
You always get that operated.
It's unbelievable.
Good morning, my name is Bob.
Yeah, and what gets me is we get automated ones. And I mean, even the voice is phony. Anyway, we are delighted to have back Tom Chipping. He's a senior legal fellow at the Great Heritage Foundation. We're going to talk with Tom this morning about the legacy of the Donald Trump impeachment. And Tom, we were saying a little earlier on the show, you know, it's been about, what, 22 years since Bill Clinton was impeached? I think it was, 98.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah, so it's 22 years. And so we look back at that and we go, well, you know, can we compare not what they did, but can we compare the legacies, do you think, between what Trump will face and what, if anything, what Clinton is facing now?
You know, legacy is kind of a funny word. It implies something really long term. So I'm not sure yet that the Clinton impeachment has a legacy. But think of how many times the word precedent was used during this Trump impeachment, and we harked back to the Clinton impeachment and used it as an example and all that kind of. So it's at least used for that, although, you know, if you want to follow a precedent, you do, and if you don't, you don't. I think, you know, maybe even looking back to the Andrew Johnson impeachment in the 19th century, now that has a legacy. That legacy was that simply using impeachment as a partisan weapon to attack the president, history does not look favorably upon that. However it was looked at the time, it is now almost universally criticized as being, misusing impeachment and using it simply as a political weapon.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, the Trump impeachment paralleled that rather than refused to follow that.
I think you're making a good point because I remember, in fact, even in, Johnson, that was like in the late 1860s when he was impeached. And then they made a movie about all of that, and he was treated sympathetically in the movie. I think Johnson ended up being salvaged by only one vote, right?
That's right. And my colleague Hans von Spakovsky wrote a piece that was up on Fox News a few days ago, where he found a lot of interesting parallels, even in the facts of the two impeachments, Johnson and Trump, where there was the removal of a person, just like Trump removed Ambassador Yovanovitch, and several other parallels, and that's why history looked back not favorably, and the credibility of those who went after the president was really undermined in the long run.
Right. In fact, we know that your buddy Hans wrote a little piece on how history might view the impeachment. And he says in it, however, history is often an unforgiving critic. Historians in the future may judge them far more harshly for abusing the impeachment power of the Constitution. I'm thinking, I don't know. Of course, it depends on which a newspaper or, cable network station you're looking at as to whether or not Trump was abused or Trump was the abuser right now. And I guess the noise that is coming back, and then you throw in the election and everything, so nobody's going to have any kind of a thought about it right now. But you know what is interesting after all of this is, despite being attacked in the press, despite being impeached, you go and you look at his Gallup numbers, and they're going up.
Right. Well, this is a very different time. And of course, this was only the third presidential impeachment in our entire history. So it's not like we've got a lot, to draw from. But that's an example of how things may have changed radically. That is, the access to information, the constant coverage of this kind of stuff, the ability to manipulate public opinion and perception about the issues that are involved. That may make it actually less predictable, so that you may end up with that sort of result, that a president, even though he's impeached, he's actually more popular. I do think, since Democrats had been trying to impeach President Trump since he took office, that was probably their biggest mistake, because when it came time to an actual impeachment process, a lot of people thought, well, this is what they do. I mean, this is nothing out of the ordinary for Democrats. Whereas with both Clinton and Johnson, impeachment was something that was starkly different from what else had been going on politically. And I think Democrats overreaching like that, a lot of people just kind of rolled their eyes and said, yeah, okay, I thought they did that already, you know?
Yes.
And so that may help explain why Trump, standing up to Democrats, defying what they wanted to do, getting back in their face for, abusing the process, that's exactly why a lot of people support and like President Trump to begin with. And so that just reinforced the reasons why they think he's a tough president.
Yeah. We're talking with Tom Gipping. He is a senior legal fellow at the Heritage Foundation. And we're talking about how the impeachment of Donald Trump may play down the road. Now, Tom, you mentioned there's not much of a legacy yet for Clinton, and of course, in comparison to Andrew Johnson, there is not. But you don't think it's totally formulated for Clinton yet?
Well, I think it's in the process, and certainly there's things to draw from. We certainly looked at the Clinton impeachment either as a model for how the House or Senate should have done it today, or how they didn't do it today. I do hope, though, that in the future, I was a little bit disappointed that more Americans did not view this as an attempt to take away from them the right to select their own leaders. In other words, the specific issues aside, impeachment cuts short and interferes with what is most important in our political system, and that is we the people pick our own leaders. There are regimes all over this world where people will never have that opportunity.
Right.
I wouldn't want to live in any of them. And people should have gotten more indignant and more upset, regardless of their party, to say, you are trying to take that away from me, and I'm not going to let you. I hope that's at least part of the legacy of this impeachment.
Right, and the voters will have their say, and maybe their revenge in November. Because, indeed, Trump, I don't think Clinton was in his second term, right? So he was
That's
not.
That's correct. He was almost done with his presidency.
Right.
He was not running for re-election. And so this is different in that respect. I think,
we're going to learn something, aren't we?
Well, if Trump is reelected, it will be the clearest rejection of the impeachment, because then the American people will have said, even though he was impeached, I want him as my president.
Yeah. I mean, it could really backfire. I mean, if the numbers are particularly strong, let's suggest that Trump wins and they're particularly strong. I think a lot of people are going to go, this is payback, you know. But then again,
well, it could very well be. Yeah. And I think, you know, people talk about, well, Democrats might just impeach him again if he's reelected. I'll say it right now. If the American people reelected impeached president, there's no way Democrats are going to do
it. Oh, I don't think they could possibly stand it.
No.
I'm wondering, just to slide off Trump for a moment, I'm wondering if people like Schumer and Pelosi, Chuck Schumer, who is the Senate Minority Leader, and of course Nancy is the House Majority Leader, I wonder if their jobs are in jeopardy. Nancy certainly would win re-election, you know, in California, I submit, because she's in a very liberal area there, and they like her, I guess, but she might lose her speakership because of this.
Well, the difficulty there will, the calculation will be, you know, you have the election, and of course the Republican and Democratic ratios in Congress may change then, and very soon thereafter is where you have the election for Speaker. And that'll be a very volatile time, because, you know, she didn't want to go down the impeachment road to begin with.
Well,
the left end of her caucus forced her to. And, you know, there's about 30 vulnerable or at least purple state Democrats who recently got elected who didn't want to do it either. And that dynamic, that split within the Democratic caucus in the House, that's going to play a role in whoever the next speaker is.
You know, I'm going to go a little bit. I don't know. This may be way off, Tom, but I'm wondering if, because of what and how the Democrats are going, and they're going so far over to the left with people like Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren, who have a, you know, Sanders has a viable chance right now, it looks like, of winning New Hampshire. And
I think he will.
Yeah, and a goodly chance maybe of being in the thick of it at the end of the Democratic primary process. I mean, if I wonder, and then let's say he gets the treatment like Nixon gave to George McGovern, where he wins Nixon won 49 states out of 50. 49. He even won McGovern's state of South Dakota, believe it or not. And if something like that happened to the Democratic Party, I wonder if there's much. I wonder if they can pick up the pieces.
I don't think that result's going to happen.
No. But
I do think if he's reelected, it will be a solid reelection. It won't be a kind of a split, you know, winning the electoral vote, not winning the popular vote like last time. But I'm waiting to see what the American people, they will have the last word. You know, one of the arguments against impeachment is that the American people ought to decide. Well, we did have an impeachment, but the American people will still decide, because this will be in part a referendum on the impeachment as well as on Trump's first
term. Right. Do you get a sense from the very small turnout in Iowa at the caucuses that something is in the wind in terms of enthusiasm in the Democratic Party?
That may be part of it. I do think, and I live in Virginia, which used to have caucuses and switched to a primary. I worked for a senator from Utah that has a system that includes both. I do think that the days of the caucus, which do require kind of a higher level of intensity and commitment and involvement, those days may be numbered. I do think that the kind of the overall commitment of people to participate actively in a process when all they have to do in a primary is just flip a switch and then go home.
Yeah,
they don't have to go to anybody's house and sit through hours of, you know, blabbing about the candidates. I think the whole caucus system may be kind of a dinosaur and may be a thing of the past. I mean, you know, we're moving toward proposals like, you know, smartphone voting and all that kind of stuff, and you know, a lot of people are lazy. They just don't want to do much if they don't have to.
Right.
So, I think that may be part of it, too.
Yeah. Tom, it is always a pleasure talking with you. You're very interesting, and thank you so very much. I know we'll be talking again soon.
Oh, I'm glad to be here. Happy Monday.
Thank you, Tom. Tom Gipping of the Great Heritage Foundation. Okay, going to take a little break. When we come back, we're going to talk with our eye in the northern sky. So stay with us.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
The best barbershop in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop, located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They've got a beautiful new facility, but you'll still get the very best haircut from the very best hair cutters, and for a great price, too. Andrew's Master Barbershop is open Tuesday through Friday, 8:30 to 5, and Saturday, 8:30 to 2 p.m. Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza, State Road 580 and Overcash Drive in Dunedin.
Don't miss the Craft Beer Hour every Wednesday from 11 a.m. to 12 p.m. We'll bring you up to speed on craft beer events and festivals, local breweries, and interview the brains behind the brews. So grab a pint and listen to the Craft Beer Hour every Wednesday from 11 a.m. to 12 p.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network, and visit the website, thecraftbeerhour.com.
Let's Go Bowling, heard on the Tantalk Radio Network every Wednesday, 11 a.m. to 12 Eastern Time. Sponsored by 12 Strike and Innovative Ball Spinner. If you bowl, if you haven't bowled in a while, or if you never bowled, why not you be one of 65 million people have bowled last year? Listen to the tip of the week, bowling stars, old and new. Let's Go Bowling Show, GoBowlingShow.com.
Go yard is a metaphor used in baseball, meaning to hit a home run. Life's struggles can make you feel like you just struck out. It's times like these that we need a little batting practice to pick ourselves back up and get back in the game. Whether you are dealing with marital issues, drug addiction, rebellious teens, anxiety, depression, or just generally having a bad day, call Mama Mac. If life has you down 0-2, before you strike out, learn to go yard. Go yard with Mama Mac on this radio station, Thursdays, 6 o'clock.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back on a Monday morning. It's a sunny morning here in beautiful Tampa Bay, Florida. But we look to the north, and our buddy Angelo Ceresi, who is our eye in the northern sky, and we talk with him every Monday, get a little sense of what the people up north are thinking, and I was just looking at something here, Angelo. I kind of wanted to get your comment. Congressman Ilhan Omar is talking about taking the GI Bill. That's the bill that allowed our servicemen to go to college. And she says, imagine what it would do to our country and those who live here if we were to take the ethos behind the original GI Bill and apply it to everybody, canceling all student debt and making public colleges, universities, and vocational schools tuition free. Now, the GI Bill was kind of a little reward.
Right, for going into the military.
For serving in the military. I don't know if you were a product of that or you remember it or what.
Oh, no, I went to school for a while under the GI Bill when I came home.
Okay. So here's Omar. She wants to expand it to everybody to basically get into college, I guess, for free. Of course, it's not for free. That just means everybody else pays for you to go.
That's correct.
I mean, what is going on? And, of course, Bernie Sanders, our buddy Bernie, who is leading. Angelo, he is leading in New Hampshire. Hey, by the way, how far are you from New Hampshire there?
Well... A little bit more north, going east, northeast.
Could you hitchhike over there for us and see what's going on?
I think I want to stay out of New Hampshire. They don't. Republicans, I don't think.
So he's leading in a state that we used to think was somewhat independent.
Right.
On the Democratic side, of course, but still a socialist. leading in New Hampshire. So what is that their party coming to if a guy like Bernie Sanders, who not only would expand the GI Bill, he would expand the health care bill, and probably expand giving everybody a free house. And
well, didn't he say he doesn't know how much it's going to cost?
No, he had no idea how much it's going.
He had no idea what it's going to cost. But yeah, he'll just take our money and give it. You know, what is it? Isn't the saying that 47% of the population in this country don't pay taxes, right?
Probably right. About half of us are low enough, I guess, in the income that we report that we don't pay.
That they don't pay the taxes. The other percentage are the ones that pay the taxes. Figure right. that in. How are you going to pay for all this here when, almost half of the country doesn't pay into it? How are you going to do that?
Well, Angelo, have you ever heard that of the old saying, and your mama used to tell you this, your eyes are bigger than your stomach?
That's correct.
Remember
yeah.
that? That meant that you see something you want, and you don't care what it does or how you can get it. You just want it. So it's like a childlike mentality, isn't it?
To say,
look, I'm going to give you guys free health care. Vote for me. It's not going to cost you anything. Vote for me.
They're just telling people what they want to hear, the socialists.
Of course.
Hitler did the same thing back in the 1930s. Mussolini did the same thing in Italy. The Bolsheviks did the same thing in Russia.
Yeah, tell the people what they want to hear.
Right, and everybody's going to get this, and everybody's going to have that, you know. And, you know, human nature, yeah, that sounds great. These people are leaning more towards communism than anything else.
Well, socialism is, we've said this on the show, that socialism, in our opinion, is communism light.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, people will point to countries, they'll say, well, look, socialism is working. No, those are like in Sweden or Denmark or Norway. Well, those are still capitalistic democracies. They have some socialism, but you also pay half your taxes back to the government, half your income back to the government. So you got to remember, you're still paying.
Right, and they also want to do away with the Second Amendment, too. These are the same people that want to take away your firearm so you can't resurrect against them. This is more different. This is not socialism light. This is socialism communism, mm-hmm. where, you know, if you really take a good hard look at it, they want to do away with the Second Amendment. They want to do away with the freedom of speech because they really shout you down. You know what I'm saying? Well, look at that Antifa. You can't say anything. They come after you, right? You wear a MAGA hat and they come after you.
That's
come
true.
On.
You can't wear a MAGA hat. You have
this
to be.
This is true communism that these people want to put on to the United States. And the American people had better wake up. What's happening?
Speaking of the Second Amendment, which is, of course, your right, excuse me, to bear arms, Bernie Sanders is a Second Amendment proponent, but he comes from Vermont, which, despite its liberal tendencies, happens to be a state where they believe in the Second Amendment. So if you notice, here is the biggest socialist in the group actually defending the Second Amendment. And in New Hampshire... In New Hampshire, that's I think, a fairly strong Second Amendment state. Am I wrong about that?
I don't know too much about New Hampshire. I know that Vermont, you don't need a permit to carry. But the Democratic Party espouses to doing away with the Second Amendment. So he's going to have to follow what his people are telling him. Correct? He's going
to... If you talk to some of these Democratic leaders or perhaps the presidential Democratic contenders, they would say, oh, no, we don't want to take away all guns.
Right, right.
But we're going to chip away. And it's like anything else. It's the slippery slope. So
right. Look what they're doing in Virginia, where they're coming up with all these things to take away your firearms or putting impediments on you owning a firearm.
Right. Right.
So, I mean, the Democratic Party, whether he's the flag bearer of the Democratic Party, their platform is going to do away with the Second Amendment. They've been pushing that and everything else.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, our own Congressman, Louis Slaughter, that was here before, you know, she passed away. And she was anti-gun all the way. She used to say, oh, you Americans can't have all the muskets they want. They just can't have, you know, all this other stuff. You know, talking real idiotic about it.
Oh, really?
You know? I mean, so no matter who the Democratic flag bearer is going to be, the presidential candidate, they're going to be anti-Second Amendment, anti-speech, anti-this and anti-that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because they want to take control, because they want to control us. They want to tell us how we can live, you know, the elites.
I'm sorry, Angelo. Just going to tell everybody we're talking with Angelo Ceresi. He is our eye in the northern sky from Rochester, New York, which I've learned from Angelo. It's one of the snowiest places that you can live. Well, that's because you're on the near the lake there.
Right. In fact, we had that snowstorm that came up the East Coast last weekend. Man, we got clobbered, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So far, we've had 73 inches of snow during this season.
Wow.
This is what we've got totals right now. Syracuse is behind us, and Buffalo is behind us.
Wow. And I always thought those were the two biggest snow cities. I'm going to include Rochester. Okay, so let me ask you this, Angelo. Are you going to watch or listen to or read about the New Hampshire primary? Like tomorrow night, you're going to turn on Fox News or something and find
out? I'll listen to it, yeah, as it goes on.
Okay.
Because you can. Those are the barometers that's going to tell you. Well, you know he's going to win New Hampshire. You know he's going to win Vermont.
Who are you talking about? Oh, you're talking about Bernie.
Bernie Sanders. And the thing is, I think they're going to plot against him to try and not get the delegates that he needs again. They're going to do the same thing to him that they did in 2016.
So you say the Democratic Party is scared of having him as their leader?
Because they're looking for somebody to be electable. But to be honest with you, they don't have anybody that is electable.
What about, let me just, seriously, do you not think that Pete Buttigieg, because of his demeanor, forget about, I know he's far left in many things.
Yeah.
But he comes across as somewhat, how would I put this, toned down, you know, he's not screaming. I mean, to me, Bernie Sanders is screaming into the microphone and waving his arm as if trying to hail a cab, by the way. One day, there is going to be a cab come by and pick him up while he's trying to deliver a speech. But, you know, Buttigieg seems to be kind of, makes his point, and he says it's sort of straightforward. I'm just wondering if he might be the best candidate for the Democrats to run against Trump. What do you think?
Well, he might. I don't know. They're in such a disarray. They don't even know who they want, to be honest with you. Some want this. They're so fractured right now, it's unbelievable. I mean, right now you just got you got Buttigieg and Bernie there leading the pack.
Right. What about Elizabeth Warren? What happened to her?
Pocahontas, she's falling wayside. You know, I don't even think they're taking her seriously.
Did she fall out of her canoe, do you think?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
You got these two top guys. I think it's going to be between those two. Biden, I think, is going to be off the picture.
You do, huh?
Yeah, I don't think he's going to get it. It's going to be between Buttigieg, I think. I could be wrong. I mean, if you see these two emerging, one of them is going to get the nomination. If you see these two walking away with the delegates in their primaries, one of them might become the thing. And I don't think either one is going to defeat the president at all.
He had a good week, didn't he?
A very good week. I mean, I think the people are behind him. The Republican Party has gotten more stronger than it ever has. And I think they're going to take back the House. They're going to increase in the Senate. And they're going to win the presidency.
Wow.
I really believe it. I think people are
the
so
big
fed
three.
Up.
The big three. Mm-hmm.
I've seen, and like talking with the Oscars, didn't they go political last night again a little bit?
And you had to bring up the Oscars. I was trying to get through this show here.
We're talking about
the Oscars. I can't watch it, although I did read about it. And yes, the answer is they did get political from the very first award. And Ed's nodding. Big Ed is nodding.
I didn't even watch it. I could care less about those Hollywood people.
Ed, did you watch the Oscars? Are you embarrassed to tell us? Ed's going to tell us whether he watched the Oscars.
Absolutely not.
Okay.
There you go.
I read about it, too. It Brad Pitt came out and said that they should make a movie about the impeachment, only let adults decide or something like that.
Well, he said, that, you know, they only give me 45 seconds up here.
Yeah. Right. They gave him more than they did.
And that's
whatever.
More than they would give John Bolton in the Senate. And he just wanted to get in his. Yeah. His
he had
two
to get
seconds,
in his
right?
big.
Now, what makes those guys that can stand in front of a camera with pancake makeup on and read lines, which is probably written for them on a big board somewhere, what makes them so smart that they should tell us what they think?
They actually believe themselves, you know?
I know.
They actually think
that somehow they transcend other people in terms of their knowledge.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, very scary. Angela,
very, very elitist. You know,
indeed.
The Hollywood people.
Angelo, it is always a pleasure. I want you to go back outside and shovel your driveway.
Oh, I haven't dreaded it.
Okay. But we will hopefully talk with you next Monday, and we should be a little bit closer to knowing maybe who the Democratic presidential candidate will be. So thank you so much.
You're quite welcome. Thank you so much for having me on.
All right, Angelo. There he goes. Angelo Ceresi. All right. We are going to take our final break, and when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about what's going on again in China and that mass quarantine, so stick with us.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
The best barbershop in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop, located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They've got a beautiful new facility, but you'll still get the very best haircut from the very best hair cutters, and for a great price, too. Andrew's Master Barbershop is open Tuesday through Friday, 8:30 to 5, and Saturday, 8:30 to 2 p.m. Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza, State Road 580 and Overcash Drive in Dunedin.
Are you looking for some great restaurants? For some great wines? Where are the great chefs? Listen to Dine Out Radio Herd every Wednesday on the Tantalk Radio Network. 12 to 1 p.m., we'll tell you where all the great events are. We'll have Food & Wine Magazine and Bon Appetit Magazine. We'll have their editors and writers on each month. And maybe we'll throw in a couple surprises. Check out the website, diningoutradio.com. My bridge is all...
Hey, everybody, this is Pastor Marcia McAllister from Beacon of Hope Ministries. We want you to join us on Sunday afternoons at 3 o'clock on this radio station for our two-hour show, talking to you about the Word of God, giving you great contemporary music, some lively chat, and just some food for thought. You'll be encouraged to know how very much God loves you and how He has a plan for your life. Join us this coming Sunday at 3 o'clock on Living the Good Life.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
We're back. And thank you so very much for joining us here on Freedom Works. We are here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern Time. I wanted to mention, before our illustrious top 10, that the coronavirus is really getting scary. Over 1,000 people now apparently have died from it. Over 1,000. And last week, China's central government ordered the city of Wuhan, which is the epicenter of the coronavirus, to round up all suspected patients and herd them into mass quarantine camps. So that's what's going on in China right now. There are many thousands of people now that are that have been sickened. 86 died on Friday alone. And well over 40,000 people globally have been sickened by the virus. Now, don't get too scared, because the flu kills many more people every year than the numbers so far. But still, and we've got some people now here in the United States. I believe there was at least one person in Chicago that died from it. So, and, you know, Chicago gets a lot of people streaming through it, O'Hare Airport and all that kind of thing. So it is here, and you got to be very, very careful. I don't know if they're close to getting some sort of medicine, you know, to stop this thing. But you know what's interesting? You know, you see those pictures, Ed, of all those people in China walking around with those face masks now. Have you seen any of those?
Yeah.
Did you know that those face masks don't do that much, according to whatever?
I always wondered.
They don't do that much. You got, they said it's better, more important for you to wash your hands frequently.
Right. Because you see the people in the hospitals and stuff in chemical suits and stuff. They're all wrapped up, and then people just have that, you know, that face guard on. It's not a whole lot doing a lot there.
And all
it does is scare people off.
Yeah. It is scary looking, almost science fiction like. Yeah. The guy that discovered it in China, who they at first muzzled, he died of it, the doctor. Very sad, very sad. Okay. What else do we have here? We still have a couple of minutes before our top 10. Oh, I know what I wanted to talk about, the budget, the Trump budget. You know, we're talking about impeachment in New Hampshire, but the White House yesterday unveiled a $4.8 trillion budget. It would slash spending dramatically on foreign aid, on social safety nets. It would include an additional $2 billion for the border wall down south. It would substantially boost NASA, the space program. It would boost the money to the Department of Veteran Affairs and to the Department of Homeland Security. Now, it has the chance of a snowball in Tampa Bay of passing, because the House of Representatives will probably throw it away, like, or tear it up like Nancy did to the State of the Union speech. So it won't get very far, but it's going to be formally announced today. And it'll serve as a signal of what Donald Trump wants to do should he be reelected in 2020. And, you know, some people are saying, I mean, have you heard what is on his new agenda? And the truth is that with everything going on and in the impeachment, I guess he really hasn't had a chance to espouse what he wants to do if he's reelected. Now, he talked about, in the State of the Union, what he did. And you could take up the entire State of the Union speech with some of those accomplishments, which I think he probably did. But a lot of people, and particularly these Republican pundits, are starting to say, okay, let's see now. What are you going to do for us again? And I think Trump said something like, wait till you see what we're going to do if I'm reelected, or words to those effect. And we'll see. We'll see. Looks like he's got a real good chance. All right. Ed, it is time. Remember, we did the top 10 shortest presidents.
Yep.
Do you remember who you, do you remember who the shortest president was, Ed?
Was it Grant?
No. But he was on the list. I'm going to give you some credit. He was on the list, and he was 5'8", but the shortest president was James Madison. Okay. He was 5'4". But he would still be shorter than, I guess, than Michael Bloomberg,
because
we found out he was good 5'8".
Yeah.
Okay. It is time for our top 10 tallest presidents, and I'm going to tell you, just like we had with the shortest, Ed, that we got a bunch of ties.
Okay.
All right. So here we go. Number 10. We have a tie. Three people at 6'1".
Okay.
They are Barack Obama, John Kennedy, and Ronald Reagan.
That's a fairly common height.
It is. In fact, add one more. I forgot. There's four of them. Andrew Jackson.
Okay.
Andrew Jackson. They were all 6'1". Although Andrew Jackson had this real high hair, and I wonder if they were counting the high hair.
Did you ever send him to Andrew to get him haircut?
Well, I know that Andrew was around, but I don't think I was. But I knew his son, Andy Jr.
Mm-hmm.
He starred in that Mayberry thing.
Okay.
Okay. Right. Yeah, they were both from the same place. All right. So we had six people that were number 10. So that means that we're at number 5. So roll the drum for number 5. And then listen to this. 1, 2, 3. We have 5 people.
Wow.
They're all at 6-2. You ready? Mm-hmm. You ready? Okay. George Washington, the first president.
Mm-hmm.
Bill Clinton was 6-2. George H.W. Bush was 6'2". I always thought he looked taller than the others.
Mm.
But he was so thin. Maybe that was it. Franklin Roosevelt. That surprised me. Now, he was in a wheelchair.
Yeah.
You know that?
Yeah.
He had polio.
Mm-hmm.
And back then, polio was, you know, people could get polio. They used to think you could get it, believe it or not, in swimming pools.
Wow.
They used to believe you could get it in swimming pools. And finally, your buddy... When you were a kid, Chester Arthur, he was also 6'2". So those those are the ones. So that brings us down, believe it or not, after all of that, to number 2. So roll the drum.
Oh.
What happened?
What?
I only got half of a roll.
Well, I thought it was number 1 already.
Okay.
Are you sure on your...
Yeah, because look, I got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8... In fact, we've already mentioned 9 presidents.
Okay.
So that's why I'm saying it's number 2.
Okay.
That's because there's all this time. I mean, we got so many there to tie. They're all kind of close. Number 2 is Lyndon Johnson.
Okay.
Yeah, he was 6'3.5" tall. Wow. I didn't realize that. He was taller than John Kennedy, and Lyndon Johnson was Kennedy's vice president.
Right.
Yeah, okay.
I went to history a couple times. In school.
Yeah, but you were sleeping through it. So don't tell me anything about what you learned there. Hey, I'm going to ask you, I'll give you a chance before we roll the drum. Who was the tallest president?
Let's go with Abe Lincoln.
Abe Lincoln, that's a good guess. You really believe he's the tallest?
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, roll the drum. Honest Abe Lincoln. Now, you know how tall he was?
No. 6'4".
Exactly right.
Mm.
6'4". And that did not include his top hat.
Oh.
No, no.
No, then he was 7'4".
He was 7'4".
The NBA wanted him.
You know, back then in the 1800s, to be 6'4",
mm-hmm.
I mean, you really did stick out.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Especially if you stood next to Bloomberg or one of those other guys.
Oh, my goodness. Well, he actually, there was a guy named Douglas, the Lincoln-Douglas debates. I don't know if you ever heard of it. Mm-hmm. And that guy was real short. And don't say I was there to watch, because I wasn't. All right. All right, my friend.
You took notes.
I did. All right. Thank you so very much. We will be back on Wednesday. And always remember that freedom works.
WTAN Clearwater
FM 106.1
WDCF Dade City
FM 102.3
WZHR Zephyr Hills
FM 104.3
Listen.
Battle ahead. I'm Michael Toscano.
I'm here to announce the indictment of Chinese military hackers.
Attorney General describing a wide-ranging massive theft of data.